Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here. We'll get going in just a minute. We have some people that were coming over from the Sunny Purdue event, but we'll get going. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate everyone's time. And with that, I'd like to introduce Brett Begeman.
Thank you, Megan. It's just like climbing up in the hay barn and walking on hay bales. You know, they're not always that stable. Thank you all for being here this afternoon. Bob Ryder is here in front, and he's gonna join me for a few comments after I'm finished, and then we'll be happy to take a few questions. So thank you all for taking the time to be with us this afternoon. Just wanted to take advantage of the opportunity. You need to raise that up?
Yeah.
How about that? Now can you hear me good? Okay. Wanted to take the advantage of being here at Farm Progress Show to do a couple of things. First of all, selfishly for me, there is no better place to be than out with a bunch of farmers talking about agriculture and hearing from them about the things that are going on. And second of all, having the opportunity to talk a little bit about our new company and our new path forward as we've spent the last couple of years working with regulators around the world to bring together Bayer and Monsanto into the new Bayer crop science business. And I could not be more excited. I've agreed to become the chief commercial officer, the chief operating officer of Bayer Crop Science, and I am Brett Begeman. Some of you I know, I've seen around for a number of years, and some of you are new to me. A couple of things that I think as we move forward is not a lot has changed 8 days into the deal from what we've been telling our agricultural customers around the world that we intended to do. And that was to take a terrific crop protection portfolio, a great seeds and traits portfolio, the world's best digital platform for agriculture, and bring those together into one company and leverage all of that technology together to drive innovation in agriculture faster than we've seen agriculture drive innovation before. Bob Ryder is with me. He's the head of R&D for a new Bayer Crop Science. He's going to talk about some of the opportunities for innovation and development, so I won't steal all of his thunder. But that's really the heart and soul of what this is all about in bringing this together, is how do we drive more value for our customers from innovation, from the new technologies that we can put together as a company. I think as I step back and look at it, you know, I've been in this space for many, many years, and I don't think I've seen a more exciting time for agriculture than now. It's a challenging time in agriculture, no doubt, with commodity prices where they are and the yields that we've experienced around the world, and that creates difficulty for all of us that are in agriculture, no doubt about that. But when I look around and I see the development of innovation and technology that's going on around us, billions of dollars being vested in startups and agriculture, which never in my wildest dreams 15 years ago did I believe would ever happen. And today we're seeing that in real time. Our goal is to bring all of that together with our traits, with our seed, with our crop protection products, leverage those digital tools to help farmers do what they do better. And I think at the backdrop of all of this, you could say, why does it matter? I don't think there's a more pressing challenge in the world over the next 25 years than figuring out how to increase the productivity of agriculture to feed 9.5 billion people by the year 2050 and do it essentially on the same footprint of land with the same amount of water. We don't get any more water. We're not getting any more land. It's a huge challenge, and it's great to see all this innovation and technology coming from all different parts of the world and all different avenues to drive that productivity. The caveat to all of that is we have to do it in the most sustainable way possible. We have to take care of the planet, and when we're trying to drive productivity at those kinds of levels, innovation and technology can be, and I believe will be, the key to being able to drive the productivity and do it in the most sustainable way possible. A lot of people here at the show are asking me, so what's going to happen with all the brands? In the near term, nothing. That's the beauty of two businesses coming together that were essentially complementary businesses. We had crop protection products within the legacy Monsanto, but predominantly that's coming from Bayer. We have our seed portfolio, but as we all know, the regulators did their job as we expected that they would, and all the seed businesses from Bayer were sold, and that, therefore the seeds coming from Monsanto, the biotech traits, and of course the digital platform that we have for driving it with FieldView and the Climate Corporation to bring it all together, to put it together for our farmers. So the brands that are out there are going to be out there. One of the things I've shared with farmers since I've been here this morning is the choices they had yesterday are the choices they'll have in the future. Choices are not going away because of this deal. The products that had to be sold off were sold to highly competent, very capable world multinational companies that will be very capable of keeping those products in the marketplace. Farmers are going to have all the choices they had. What I believe is that this deal brings together the opportunity to create even more choices, bringing more opportunities to farmers to increase the productivity and, of course, the profitability on their own farms. The way we go to market, and I would say for 19, because we're going to harvest this year, and we're already starting to talk to farmers about seed purchases for next year, it's going to look a lot like both companies did last year. So we're not changing anything with who's going to be calling on them or who should they call. Call the same number that you called last year. Call the same person. Call the same location. That's the way we'll be servicing the market in 19. We'll take our time. We'll be very methodical. We're going to talk to a lot of farmers. We're going to ask for a lot of advice. We're going to talk to other industry leaders. We're going to talk to commodity associations, get advice and insight from them on what they expect this new company to do and how best can we do that to support agriculture and support our farmers. Of course, we have ideas of our own, but we want to hear directly from our customers to help us set the pace and how we go forward. And I couldn't be more excited about trying to get that done in the next year or so, so that as you start looking at 20, yeah, you might start to see some changes. But I tell you, you're not going to see brands going away. You're not seeing products go away. That's never been the intent behind the deal. One of the other areas that I get questioned a lot about is what about the communities where you live and work? We are absolutely committed to those communities. Of course, Bayer has operations across the United States and around the world. So do we. They happen to be in different localities in many cases. That will continue, because we need both of those businesses to operate. In many cases, ours are seed footprints, theirs are chemistry footprints. We're going to continue to be an active member of the communities that we've been in before, and we'll continue to do that as we go forward in the future. There's always challenges in agriculture, whether that be working with industry stakeholders and others outside of the industry around sustainability or working on various other topics that involve agriculture. And most recently, we've had some challenges with one of our products, specifically Roundup, with some challenges of being threatened against Roundup. What I can say is that we're going to be absolutely committed to supporting all the products that we have to bring forward in the marketplace. They will be challenged. That happens in this industry. There's no questions in our mind about the products or the services that we offer in the marketplace. We welcome the questions. We welcome people's questions about our products. But we're going to continue to support those products and do everything we can to keep them available in the marketplace for farmers as they march into the future. I think one of the biggest opportunities we have as an industry is that we reach beyond our agricultural community to have more of our conversations. I think we do a pretty good job having conversations within our industry, but we don't reach outside of our industry enough. And I'd like to see us spend a lot more time, and we're going to champion some of that in Bayer, and we're going to encourage some of those conversations to go beyond the walls of agriculture. Let's talk to society. Let's engage in a conversation. Let's help people understand the incredible things that this industry has already done to drive sustainability in agriculture. And then let's engage in a conversation about how do we work together to continue to do more, because we haven't done enough. We have to do more, but let's do it together. Let's do that conversation together and engage in that conversation. I think there's a lot of people out there that just want to be sure that what we're doing is sustainable. It's we're making good decisions, and we believe that we are, and we have to share that conversation. I could not be more excited about agriculture. I could not be more excited about the opportunities for Bayer. I already explained all the new technology coming at agriculture, the innovation, et cetera, that that's going to drive. You know, as I think about this, there's been moments in my career when I thought, man, I never thought agriculture was going to be this exciting. And there was one moment in my life when my father was in his last days, and he pulled me aside and he said, you know what? You know the worst thing about moving on? And I said, no, Dad, what's that? Agriculture's just now starting to get fun. And it was. And that was in the early days of biotechnology and the changes that happened in the industry. I have to tell you, I'm more excited today than I was in the early days of biotechnology, because digital and digital transformation is going to change our industry for the better more than biotechnology did. And I can't wait to play a part in that with our new company and engage with farmers and help increase the productivity of agriculture. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Bob Ryder for a few comments on innovation and the pipeline, and then both of us will join you for some questions. Bob?
All right. Well, thank you, Brett. You know, like Brett, I think for me, it's always an amazing opportunity to get out here and meet with our customers and talk to our customers, because that's the ground truth of where you find out the innovation that you try to develop in our laboratories and our research farms really comes together and it makes a difference. And for somebody that's been working in this industry for now almost 30 years, you know, one of the things that I love to do is I love to work and help invent things that matter and make a difference for our farmer customers, help them be successful, and then ultimately feed society in a way that's highly sustainable. The most important thing I probably do in my job is to listen to our customers. Listen to our customers' unmet needs, try to understand those, and bring those back to our research teams so that we can guide them so that what we work on really, really ultimately is going to make a difference to our customers and drive innovation. And as Brett said, we're at an amazing inflection point in terms of what's going to happen. You know, I look back when I first joined Monsanto about 20 years ago, I came right at the time of biotechnology and the plant breeding seed businesses that Monsanto had acquired were coming together. And I was part of the work that went on that we brought in terms of bringing those skills in molecular biology that Monsanto possessed and applied them to those breeding programs from the seed businesses that we had acquired. And over that 20-year period, we fundamentally transformed how we breed many of our crops that we grow today. And it's been amazing to me to see how instead of using 14 acres of land to grow research plots and test things by using plots and combines to harvest and look at yield data, and today we make those same decisions using a little DNA chip that's about the size of a quarter. And to me, that's just amazing. You know, we today run our largest testing program in corn, for example, in the U.S., that first year of testing is conducted entirely in a laboratory, which is, to me, just an unprecedented thing to be able to do. And so my point is that only happens when you bring two different sciences together. Among the most amazing things in science, the greatest innovations really have happened when you brought scientists from different disciplines together and let them come together and try to solve really, really hard problems. And that's what really fundamentally excites me about the opportunity as we move forward as the new Bayer Crop Science Group, is that we've got best-in-class chemists and scientists developing crop protection products, and we're combining them with folks that have got a long, rich tradition in biology in terms of our seed and trait R&D operations. And so we've only been at this for about 10 days. I can tell you the number one question that I've been getting from our R&D employees is, hey, I'm working on this. Who the heck do I call? Because the problem, of course, is there's thousands of us. You know, we've got 8,000 scientists now working on these problems together, but they don't know who to call just yet. And so that's one of our great opportunities of bringing all that together. Those 8,000 scientists are going to be operating on 35 research sites. We've got 175 breeding locations around the globe that we use to apply the science and harness the technology that we have available to us. As I look ahead at what's going to also happen, this digital revolution that's taking place is fundamentally reshaping how we do research and fundamentally reshaping how the output of that research is being used by our farmer customers on the farm. Much of what we already are doing today in terms of our decision making is using artificial intelligence techniques, machine learning, and we're applying that information and that knowledge, collecting data in ways that are unique and different than we ever did in the past. And our customers are doing the same thing. And we're trying to harness all those things together to help our customers work through the complexity that we know is out there on their fields. When a farmer makes a decision to plant a crop, we often talk about the 40 different decisions that a farmer is going to make. And there are a lot of choices in each of those 40 decisions. The combinations of choices and the right way to do things are all unique and tailored to every single acre that represents the fields that that farmer is growing crops on. Our job is to help provide the very best products and then help provide the knowledge that helps our customers use those products in the very best way. And that is in front of us and in the huge opportunity that is in front of us to represent and help our growers in terms of driving innovation on the farm so that they can achieve the things that Brett mentioned in terms of being able to produce food for 9.5 billion people on the exact same footprint and in a way that isn't going to use more resources than we use today. And if I look into the pipeline that we have, you know, we have a very rich pipeline for both companies. In the past 2 years alone, we've had over 70 advancements in those pipelines. We've got products that we're introducing today in seed applied solutions like NemaStrike, which is a brand new product for nematode control in our seed treatment portfolio for both corn and beans. And combine that with some biological products, we have BioRise 2 for corn, a brand new biologic that helps with nutrient uptake for that corn crop. And then as I'm starting to learn the portfolio from the Bayer side and the crop protection products that they have in the market, we have products like Corvus, which is the number one pre-emergent corn herbicide in the market. We can combine that with other chemistries that we can use to help growers make sure that they've got excellent weed control all the way from planting to harvest. And then finally, a new product in the fungicide market is Dilaro. And Dilaro is a fungicide that provides really very long season fungicide control. And I can tell you one of the things that I know is as growers are putting more and more investment into every acre, they need to be able to maximize the protection of that crop. Products like Dilaro as a fungicide help to provide 12 to 18 bushel increase in yield for corn, 4 to 5 bushel increase for soybeans, because they're providing a solution for an unmet need that the seed by itself can't do, which is to provide tolerance to those diseases. So that fungicide really helps maximize the overall performance of that seed product. So those are just a few of the highlights of what we have an opportunity in front of us coming together. I could tell you, we have immensely talented scientists. They're excited and ready to work together in a way that will be new and different. They're excited to talk about the expertise and the competencies they have. And I can't wait to be able to tell you in the future about some of the innovations that are going to come out of some of our research labs. It's a very exciting time for agriculture, and it's a really exciting time for the new Bayer Crop Science. So with that, I'll go ahead and stop. I'll invite Brett back up. I think, Megan, you're going to come up and moderate for us, and we'll take your questions.
Before we take the first question, I should also add that another one of our executives joined us while we were giving our comments. Jesus Madrazo is the new head of agricultural policy and sustainability for Bayer Crop Science Worldwide. He'll be here with us to take some questions as well.
What's going on right now with glyphosate lawsuits in Roundup? Where is that process?
I can really say nothing's changed. We had the outcome in the verdict in California. There's really nothing new. I mean, I would look at that as one case. Doesn't change 800 scientific studies. It doesn't change 40 years of use. It doesn't change the incredible value that that product's brought to agriculture and to consumers worldwide. And we're thoroughly supportive of the product, and we'll continue to work through the legal process that's available to us. It's a horrible and unfortunate situation with the plaintiff, Mr. Johnson. We have great sympathy for him and his family, but Roundup does not cause cancer.
Yeah.
So Monsanto's gotten took a lot of criticism for how it handled complaints and litigation surrounding the cannabis specifically. Now that it's a new company, how is that going to change, you know, the way you approach these issues and your tone and strategy?
Yeah, so first of all, remember we've been together 8 days. but we also were taking the opportunity to engage in conversations about how we look to the future. And we're not spending a whole lot of time looking to the past. We're spending a whole lot of time looking to the future. And I would tell you that farmers have always been front and center and important to who we are, both companies, legacy companies. They will continue to be front and center of how we operate. How we did things this year was significantly different than how we did things last year. And we continue to learn, just like any other company, from feedback from our customers. We'll continue to listen to that feedback, engage in that conversation, look at additional research, and move forward from there. And back in the back.
What would you say is the biggest challenge for you now that's come out?
I don't know that I would say anything about a setback. I look at this as this is a product that has a 40-year track record of bringing incredible value to farmers and to society. It's changed the way we farm. It's brought on a lot of the sustainability that we have in agriculture today. The science is crystal clear. There's no questions in the science. It's a horrible situation for an individual, which we sympathize with, but that's not the cause. And we'll continue to follow the process and work our way through it. And, you know, it's to me, what we have to focus on is not that one case, but on the importance of all the molecules that we have within the portfolio, all the products that we have, to continue to drive the innovation in agriculture so that we can feed everybody that's going to be with us in 2050. And that is the focus of where we're headed. Farmers are going to continue to buy Roundup, and we've seen absolutely no change in the business profile.
Something that has been big that Roundup was the Monsanto Fund and the America's Farmers Pro Program.
Yeah, so that what you're speaking to is an effort that Legacy Monsanto had put in place, America's Farmers Grow Rural Education and America's Farmers Grow Rural Communities. Been going for a number of years. They've been fantastic programs. I've had the luxury of visiting with a lot of the schools and the communities where those have had an impact. And I always step back and say, as a kid that came from one of those rural communities, it's super cool to see a multinational company figure out how to get funds from their customers back into those communities to make a difference. And the commitment we have with Bayer is that we're going to continue to invest in those communities just like we've done in the past, and quite frankly, they have. For the near term, those programs are going to continue to operate. We don't anticipate that we're going to change those. Here's the caution that I always give to everyone on every question that speaks to the past and to the future. Whether these companies would have ever come together or not, there are things that both of us independently would have changed for the future, and there will continue to be change, and we will do things differently. I would suspect that the vast majority of them will have absolutely nothing to do with the fact that the two companies came together. It'll have to do with we found a better idea on how we could do something in a community around the world and make a difference. But in the near term, we're absolutely committed to those programs. Nothing's going to change.
I just see it as a seed company, trait company, chemical company. One of you mentioned digital transformation. The other one mentioned digital revolution. What is it you guys are bringing in the digital world that is going to be so transformational?
So I'm going to take a shot at that. And then my technology wizard here is going to fill in for me. And I may have jumped over something in my remarks. I should have been more clear. So, yes, we're bringing together the seeds and traits portfolio and the crop protection portfolio. But as part of Monsanto, we're also bringing in climate and FieldView, which is a digital platform where we already have in excess of 50,000 farmers participating in that platform today. We have millions and millions of farmer information in that platform. It's, if you walk around the Farm Progress Show, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a piece of equipment that can't connect to FieldView and automatically download information from the field, from sensors, from satellites, etc., bring all that data together into a central location for that farmer. And the key is for that farmer. The farmer owns the data. But from that data, we can draw insights looking at the data and help the farmer make better decisions as we go forward. Those same tools can be utilized in technology and R&D programs. They're just utilized differently, as Bob was describing what we were, the changes we made in breeding. That platform already exists. It's already out there, and many, many farmers are already using that platform. It's available in the U.S., in Canada, in Brazil, in Argentina, in France, and expanding into Eastern Europe. So it's widely available, and we'll take it globally, but it's already in place, and farmers are already using that tool. That's what I was trying to speak to, of how can we connect more data, more sensors, to bring more information to that. Bob, more comment?
Yeah, so just maybe a couple of points on what the opportunity is then. So we know, for example, that if you looked at the average corn yields in the U.S., right, so we're talking 178-ish bushels. And you know from corn grower contests, we push over 500 bushels. So that seed obviously has a tremendous amount of potential that we don't realize on every single acre that we plant. And we know that as a grower, the best you do each year is you run one experiment a year. So even if you're a farmer for 40 years, you get 40 opportunities to learn how to do something better. And that's where big data has a tremendous opportunity and where we can help in terms of how do we help a grower make the very best decision in terms of the seed choice on every single unique environmental situation that that grower has. So the whole key in this, we talk about terms like precision ag. I like to use the answer of tailored solutions, because what we're really talking about is every square meter is different, and the choices of what you do on that square meter make a difference. There have been studies, for example, that will suggest that even though we know the genetics that go onto that acre are important, and obviously how much rain and the environment all matter, there's probably about over 200 bushels of decision-making still left that you have some control over. So how do you help a grower, as opposed to trying to learn things on their own, over 30 or 40 years, how do you accelerate that by using the power of all of this digital data and analytics and combine that with putting the products together in combinations and ways that are absolutely custom and tailored to that individual location that each farmer is farming? And that's the magic. That's about driving the optimization every square meter across every single field across the entire globe.
So here's the other transformational dimension on this. And as you add far more precision to agriculture using all of these data and insights, what you're also doing is helping agriculture be the most precise industry that you can ever find. So farmers are able now to make more precise decisions using less water, less land, less natural resources. And that goes to a really important place, because society today is asking farmers to do more sustainably the production of our food. So this is the other component that is so important for agriculture as well.
Over here.
First of all, it's going to take me a while to get used to you wearing a different logo.
Me too.
But you mentioned that, at least for the farmer, nothing's really changed for 2019. So kind of help me understand, while you were waiting for the final approval, not allowed to have any discussions,
within the sales staff, so that in 2019 there couldn't be some information. Yeah, thank you. And I like this shirt. And I almost slipped up once today, but maybe some of you didn't catch it, but trying to say the right names and And I'll stay on that one. I'll get up to speed. A couple of things, they're specific about the transaction that we didn't spend a lot of time talking about. The financial closure of the deal was in June of this year, June 7th. But the Department of Justice required that we remain in a hold separate period until last week. And in that hold separate requirement, we were not allowed to discuss anything about the current business, nor share any information about the current business, or even be involved in making any decisions. We had to remain as independent companies competing aggressively in the marketplace. So it was really 8 days ago that we could start talking. Now, what they did allow us to do is there's three of us up here. They did allow us to think about forward of what the organization leadership might be and the individuals involved in that. So we did announce some of the individual leader roles in the significant roles of the company. But that's about it. We weren't allowed to bring together the businesses and have a conversation about how we're going to work together. And that's the beauty of this. This deal was structured as complementary businesses to really drive innovation. Innovation doesn't happen overnight. Our businesses are very complementary, and they're both very successful businesses, so there's no emergencies to go fix. So we just continue to operate those two businesses and make absolutely sure that our farmer customers are served. We don't want to drop the ball. You know, I always think about it as glass balls and rubber balls. The glass ball that we're holding is serving our farmer customers. We can drop all the other items, and they bounce back up, and we can grab them. We can get glass balls break. So we'll be methodical and slow and be forward-looking as we talk with our customers about making those changes.
We have one more question over here, and then if there are additional questions, let us know, and we'll make sure that you're able to ask your questions.
I'm sorry, I can't. Yeah, so I'm going to let Jesus answer that just so everybody can hear the question. She mentioned that I made comments around reaching out to others in society to have a conversation about agriculture and how might we be thinking about doing that going forward in the future. Jesus?
Thanks for your question. Here's the reality that we are experiencing in our industry. There's never been a time where we've seen more innovation coming to our farmer customers. And agriculture has evolved into being one of the most socially innovative, collaborative, and really impactful industries around the world. Yet, the irony on this is that not many people know about our work. There is a lot of confusion. There is a lot of misinformation that only aggravates this. So we have a responsibility as a leader in this industry to lead that conversation with transparency, to lead that conversation to all of our stakeholder audiences, including consumers, that today are getting a lot of information from many different sources and are confused, quite frankly, about what we do in agriculture. They don't know the length that we go to drive sustainability in our farm. How do we help our communities? How do we really help secure food security for our world? So this is a role that we as a leading company will play, but it requires all of us working together to be able to bridge the gap of information in agriculture, and that our farmer customers, our stakeholders, our partners, companies like Monsanto and now Bayer, and our competitors, we all have a role to play. So there is a lot of work that we still need to do, and this is probably one of the most important priorities for industry going forward, is making sure that consumers and all audiences understand the benefits of modern agriculture.